Hey, nice haircut, dude.
How you doing?
I'm good, but first of all, how you doing?
First of all, how you doing?
How's your haircut, dude? It's nice.
Thanks,
dude. What's the origin story?
It's so I was born and then my hair grew.
Nice.
And then I cut it. And
damn.
No, I paid someone to cut it. I didn't cut it myself. That's a lie. I'm taking credit for something I didn't do. Paid the money.
Okay, and what's the desire of the character? I mean, it's never fun or interesting.
The desire is that I desire, you know?
Okay. Was it like you had long hair and then people started disrespecting you and bullying you and you're like, I'm going to show them.
They were like,
yeah.
No, I just, it's just nice, you know, to not get, you know what I'm saying?
That's not a fun origin story.
Dude, it gets really weird when I start talking about my hair and my hair getting long because I've got, anyways.
Okay. Are you recording?
Just
so I confirm.
Huh?
Are you recording?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
You just saw me look, right? So.
Yeah, but I can't see anything. So it's just.
Yeah, no, but you saw me look.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyways.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So. Nice. Did you ever have long hair? Like really long?
I think the longest I had it was like. No, I never had like long hair like you're thinking, like Tarzan style. No. What about you?
For me, it doesn't also grow long. It just grows wide.
Same.
Yeah. Or at least for a while. I guess if we keep growing it and also keming it.
I think the long hair, you have to go at it strategically, you know? I don't think you can just let it grow. I think you have to do it strategically.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you have to cut certain parts. And then there's like a phase where it looks really, really... For people who have long hair, I think there's a phase where it looks really bad.
Yeah.
It just looks really unkempt and stuff. And you have to be creative in terms of how you get over that phase. You know, you have to figure out a way. You can't just let it grow and just cut at the side. I don't know. I don't know anything, dude.
I don't know. We're not hair experts, right? But
yeah.
I mean, it's similar to a beard. There's a period where it just does not look cool. And you have to get over that hump and then we're
but
fine.
Dude, I like your hair, man. It's like a little whoop, you know what I'm saying?
Here? Yeah, I mean,
it's like a little whoop, you know?
Dude, I wish I'd gone to the hairdresser yesterday because now they're closed for
natural?
A month.
Is natural? It's all natural because we're doing this in the morning.
It's actually natural, yeah. I didn't put any hair gel
nice,
in
dude.
It.
This is how you wake up?
Yeah.
You sexy motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
So you wake up, dude?
Dude, but I was thinking maybe it would be cool to grow my hair really long sometime. But
yeah, dude, that's what I wanted to do. But then the guy cut my hair too much. And I was like, because I'm Indian, I was like, instead of being a good person and being like, hey, bro, can you just not stop cutting? Stop it. But yeah.
How are you going to grow? Like silky,
but do you
long
also get
hair?
The feeling?
That's.
Yeah, do you also get the feeling as an Asian that you're not as sometimes you're not as like direct?
Sorry.
Oh frick, you're not as direct as you know our European brothers and sisters.
Sure, but you can say what you want. I think that's not a problem. She overrode you, like you said.
No, he just like he was on board with what I was saying. And he was like, even when he started cutting the top, he was like, this much? And I was like, yes. And then he started. And then I guess maybe I spaced out. But before I knew it, like, he had cut way more than I wanted. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess. And he was like a really nice guy as well. You know, we kissed afterwards. So.
Oh, nice. Did he give you some money
kidding.
For breakfast as well? And cab fare?
Yeah. No.
No, it didn't go that
paying.
Far.
I was the one paying.
Oh, very generous.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a gentleman like that, dude.
Did he actually offer, but then you were too nice and you were like, no, I can't accept it, but I'll give it to you.
Of course, man. It's those Asian genes, you know. You cook for them and then, you know, play with their butthole a bit, you know.
Jeez.
What you got against buttholes, man?
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
But hey, I agree. This time off really helps, in my opinion, because I get to spend so much time with myself, and I feel like it's getting easier and easier to say no to things.
Time off meaning what exactly?
Time off meaning you're not outside so much because of the quarantine. I'm mostly home, and I just spend mostly the time alone now or read. So I just get to think a lot, and then I think you're more in touch with yourself, and then you can actually express more what you like to do.
I thought that we said we don't touch ourselves anymore last week.
Anyway, are we going to talk about porn again? No.
I think Razwan is about to blow a gasket. No, but you were saying that you're able to say no easier.
Yeah. I mean, there are not opportunities to say yes or no now anyways, in my opinion. But, yeah.
But, for example, what?
For example, I mean, something very, very basic and simple is, for example, My sister and Vanya, they moved to Berlin a few weeks ago. So I go to their house. I went there yesterday, for example, as well. And they always offer that I just stay over. Especially now because there's a curfew at 10, strictly. I have to be indoors by 10. So they were like, look, why don't you just sleep over and then go in the morning? And I was like, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. In the past, I would have thought, I'd rather not, but I guess I'll just do it. But now I just say it. It's so simple. You know, but in the past, I would still hesitate. Would you do something like that too? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think for me also, like, the idea of not even wasting time contemplating, you know, but wait, will they feel insulted? Which obviously they won't. But, like, that's the kind of thoughts I used to have back in the day, like, will they feel insulted if I say no? Or I would just not, like, now it's like I just make a decision even before the evening, and then, like, I just, you know, it's never a question of me, you know. So I think similar in that sense. I mean, I think you and me, we talk a lot about boundaries and, like, trying to set them. So I think that was also, like,
well, speaking of boundaries, dude, Mark Manson, our god. He has a new book, audiobook actually. Have you listened to it?
No, what's it called?
It's called Love Is Not Enough, I think. It came out a while back actually, but I just discovered it and I listened to it. It's really good
stuff. Yeah.
Good stuff. It's about relationships, and he interviews several people privately and anonymously. I mean, privately it's being recorded and they know, but anonymously. And they go very, very personal, very intimate, and talk about everything, basically. And he then comments also what that means and kind of tells the audience what to do in those cases and what's causing that, etc. And it's actually really interesting. And he just talks a lot about boundaries and being vulnerable, all those kind of things.
Be vulnerable, dude.
Yeah. Taking care of yourself, because then you also, your boundaries naturally just go up more because you like yourself more. All those kinds of things. It was very interesting.
Did you listen to the whole thing? Did you buy it or what?
Yeah, I actually did a trial with Audible months ago during the first lockdown, and I just hadn't listened to it yet. So I listened to it and then...
I was on Audible as well, and then I realized it's not that cheap, dude.
10 euros, yeah.
10 euros per month, and then you have to buy each book, like, mostly.
Well, if you want get those free credits. Second book. Huh? Well, if you want multiple books, yes, but for $9.95, you get at least one book per month.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I think it's okay.
You're right, it kind of is worth it.
Yeah. I actually signed up again, and I'm listening to a book called Nonviolent Communication, which was highly recommended by Mark Manson, by Neil Strauss, and by a bunch of other people.
Nonviolent Communication.
Yeah, it's talking about how to communicate not to hurt the people. around you. Oh. If that makes sense. So an example was an example was like this the author, he was talking to a couple. He was talking to a married couple that they were fighting a lot. And so she just kind of exploded and said, "Look at him. He's not even talking. He's a wall. He's like a wall." And he said, "Whoa." And then apparently the guy really just shrunk together and didn't say anything. And it actually became a wall. And so the therapist,
he turned into a wall.
No, I mean, he wasn't saying it. He was just silent.
Okay, and hold up though. Like brick wall or concrete wall? All right. He was silent. And then
he was silent. And yeah, the therapist then just said, like he basically says, whenever you say something, it always is very often is infused with your own assumptions and your own feelings. So obviously he's not a wall. So a correct communication will be, and she's blowing up, right? So she's angry as well. So a correct communication would rather be, I feel sad when, or I feel frustrated when you don't answer my questions or when you don't speak. Kind of like that. I just started listening to it, so I'm not really an expert in it, but very, very limiting. And really, like, for example, if you say about a person, he always bothers me, let's say, right? Then you should actually specify and say, the last two times we spoke, I was getting a bit frustrated. That way, it's just much, much more limiting and less hurtful. And it's actually true, right? If you say, he's always, it's just an exaggeration. And
Yeah.
Anyways, this is getting into technicalities.
Well, I have this new theory that, like, you know what I'm saying?
What?
Okay. So I was thinking about it and and like I was thinking about the way I was thinking that when we communicate, when we talk, we're not really like sharing information to each other. I feel like we're more just like we're just kind of talking to ourselves, and we've got it's like this weird theory in my head, which I'm still trying to figure out how to put it into words, but it's like every person, every friendship you have or relationship you have, it's like you've got some idea of this person in your head, right? And then when you're telling them stuff, you're really just talking to yourself. So the things that make you want to say, like the things that make you want to give advice, like the things that like if someone comes to you, your friend, and says, "Hey, I'm having issues with my job," and then you start giving advice about it, you're really just giving advice to yourself.
Oh yes, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're like a motivational speaker, you're really just doing it to motivate yourself. And that's not to say that it's a selfish act. I just have this idea that I think we kind of think that we're talking to each other and helping each other and motivating each other, but I think we're actually living more of a subjective experience than we think.
Yeah.
I don't think we're really having that much of an effect. I don't know. It's a weird.
I read about this. It's this author called Austin Kleon, I think he's called.
That's my pen name, dude.
He also says whenever you give advice, it's basically you giving it to your younger self.
Yeah, I really get that feeling. I really, really get that feeling. And anyway, so it's just.
But that's
something
not bad, right?
No, not at all.
What do you think of this? So,
because I think it's great. I think it's great to know that because if you think about the things that really, like, let's say I have this sense, like, real big urge to tell you, hey, stop doing this or start doing that, you know, like one of those. If I have that urge, then
it's actually about
me. I think exactly. Well, so
no. I mean, I'm talking in your voice. So about you.
Yes, exactly. So if I think that's the thing is, if I think I'm actually giving it to you because I'm so altruistic or whatever, then that's fine, whatever. But actually, if I realize, oh, the reason why I have this strong urge is because I want to actually do this in my life, then it can actually have a very strong effect, I think, in helping.
That's good, man.
Anyways, so
that's good.
Yeah, you were.
I think it's that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Austin Clown though would be a great pen name for me, dude.
Austin Clown, I think is he's a great artist, Steel or something. I have it back there. All right, I can check again. But I was just thinking because my sister always told me, because she also went to international school, right? And then she said they always invite, they have this anti-drug campaign. I never had this in my school. So she talked about there was this anti-drug campaign where they invite people and they talk about, you know, don't take drugs, kids, like kind of like that. But very often there were Christian moms, you know, who like she just felt the charisma wasn't there, and she thought, why would I believe you because you've never even tried drugs or smoked or you know, were an alcoholic. And she said it would be way more effective if a guy who used to be in and out of rehabilitation, rehab, maybe almost shit, yeah, died of overdose, you know, that story is much, much more effective. And that's also, I guess, when those people then actually give advice, it feels more like they would also give it to themselves, the younger selves.
Ah, yeah, that is true.
Right?
That is true, yeah.
Because, I mean, if I tell some kids, like, don't take drugs, it's not as interesting because I never took drugs. But if, like, you know, this tattoo, this, like, I don't know.
Well, hey. What you got against tattoos, dude?
No, I mean, it does make you more badass, I do believe. Come on. Dude, we talked about being assertive. If we want to really be assertive, we're going to get a tattoo first.
We should get a tattoo that says assertive. Yeah. With like a
on our forehead.
Yeah, on our head.
Yeah, so they can
assertive, and then an arrow pointing downwards. This guy.
Yeah, listen to this. And then, yeah, arrow to the mouth.
Oh, I am, man, giving advice to myself. Don't mind my advice. It is only advice for me.
It's. What's the worst tattoo you've ever seen?
Oh, dude, the worst was I did this short course once, and there was this guy.
Short course on what?
It was like a fitness course.
Oh.
Yes.
So it must have been short because I don't see the results.
Thanks, dude. I love how you felt so sad about your burn.
Like, I feel so bad, man.
Yeah, you were like, oh.
I always have to clarify.
I love how you gave me the burn and then you reacted to it as well. You were like, oh. That's the best, man.
Yeah.
That's the best.
I don't deserve a tattoo. That shows. Oh, man.
That was clearly you just talking to your younger self. Oh, what's up, you weakling?
Oh, yeah. Oof. That's. Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, so I did the course, and there was a guy there, and this guy, he had like 6-7 tattoos. And yo, man, like, I swear to God, it was like. 10-year-old me, like, doodling on a piece of paper. Man. And he was like, yeah, you know, he was like showing them, and he was like, yeah, I got a tattoo gun and did it myself and stuff. And I was like, yeah, well, I hope you fucking did it yourself, because if you paid for this shit, you know. And like, and it looked so bad. Like, he had all these Mickey, like, it was so weird.
Oh,
what
do you have against Mickey Mouse?
No, it wasn't literally Mickey Mouse. When I say Mickey Mouse tattoos, it's from wrestling. I had to throw in the wrestling.
Mickey Mouse is in wrestling? What do you mean?
No, so The Rock used to say, to insult The Undertaker, he used to say, get your big dead ass out here. Get out here with your Mickey Mouse tattoos. So, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Does he have Mickey Mouse tattoos?
No, he has tattoos, and then he called them Mickey Mouse tattoos to make fun of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but okay, all right. I mean,
it's like The Rock's call.
I get the logic, but
yeah,
I don't have anything against Mickey Mouse. If anything, he's kind of like a hero.
Oh, dude, you love Mickey Mouse, dude.
Dude, I was researching Disney World, man. It's actually open right now, and I was
Okay, can I ask you a question, a serious question? If Mickey Mouse was like, yo, you and me can do a podcast every week, but in order to do that podcast, you need to stop doing the Kimchi Curry podcast, what would you say?
Nah, of course not. Come on.
Yo, what's come up on. With the hesitation, man? Answer the question.
Dude, I mean, it depends on the perks, let's be honest. If he says, I'll get a free house forever in Disney World, you know, it's hard to say no, man. I must admit.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the last episode of...
Dude, we talked about this. One day we're going to go to Disney World together. And even then, you'll be convinced. You'll be convinced. You will do the same thing.
Disneyland is the happiest place on earth.
It will definitely, dude. This yeah, it's open right now. I can't believe it.
Dude, I need probably to go see the. I need to do Iron Man. I love Iron Man.
Yeah, dude. You have Marvel. I think they're working on Marvel stuff. But they have the Star Wars thing. They have Avatar and Avatar yeah, but, Pandora.
Yeah. I just want to give a great shout out to my good friend James Cameron for his new movie Avatar.
Dude, the second and third and fourth movies are coming out, I think, starting next year.
Why?
What do you mean?
Why?
You Who didn't cares? Like the first one at all?
Dude, the only good thing about the first one was the fact that it was the first movie in actual 3D, not this bullshit 3D that they pull. And it was mesmerizing in that sense, but story crap.
Story was crap, but the effects were amazing.
Effects were amazing. The 3D was amazing. Yeah. That Colonel dude was freaking awesome. Like he was just a badass.
Yeah, Sam Worthington, like, not
great bad guy, boring. But Sam Worthington has not been good in anything I've seen him. This guy is like the worst actor ever.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry, Sam. I know you listen to the podcast, but dude, like, your acting is really subpar for someone who's so freaking famous. Like, this guy is like world famous. He's had like four, you know, blockbuster movies, and they've all Terminator? Been terrible. Yeah. Yeah. Terminator. What was that one with the gods? The
Titans. Yeah, Titan of God or something. Titan.
Oh, this was really bad. This was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then they made a sequel.
Oh, yeah?
They actually... Clash of Titans, it's called.
Oh, Clash of
they
Titans,
made,
yeah.
They made a sequel, dude.
With him? No.
I think... I don't know if he was in it or not. I just remember...
Even the producers realized we made a mistake.
Bro, this is so... Oh, this was so bad. And, like, you know what they did in Terminator? They had Christian Bale, who was, like... super, you know, he was on top because of the Dark Knight or Batman Begins or whatever. And so he was on top and they had him in there and they were like, yeah, we want to make a movie about John Connor in the future, right? Fighting the things. And then some producer was like, oh, this Sam Worthington, he's so hot right now. I love him. Put him in the movie.
And so hot like, right now, is that like...
They were like, bro, we already have a story. We've got a script and everything. They were like, no, put him in the movie. And
they changed the story for the guy?
And then the script writers had to rewrite the script to fit in Sam Worthington. And if you watch the movie, it's so horrible. Disjointed. Because there's kind of like two main dudes. And it's really disjointed, their stories and how they get, you know, how they gel together and stuff. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
You know? And so it really made sense to me when I read this that like... They were like obsessed with Sam Worthington and they needed him in the thing.
Damn.
Man.
That's the time when Christian Bale bullied the sound guy, right? Or the light guy.
What the fuck are you doing? Don't you think it's fucking distracting when we're trying to shoot the scene here? I'm gonna kick your fucking ass, you fucker.
Jesus.
He goes nuts, man. And you hear
people. Do
you
think he was giving himself advice?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like he definitely had some issues.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like if he went home that day and was like, "Oh yeah, that was all Shane's fault," then he clearly has no issues. But I think he did. He knew that it was, yeah, you know, he had some home issues.
Yeah,
and shit.
I mean, we all do in some ways, right? You know? I mean, he's a great actor. That I mean, Christian Bale, freaking legend, dude.
Dude, he's the freaking
Prestige.
Man,
freaking love that movie.
Oh, dude, Prestige, I love it, dude.
Yeah. Also,
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, yeah, really
dude,
good.
Dude, this guy, dude, 10 out of 10 human being, alpha male.
Yeah, and so nice too.
Yeah. But then also, hey guys. Oh, alrighty then.
Yeah.
It's plus me, Hugh Jackman.
Plus he can sing. I mean, jeez. Have you seen
The
Greatest
Showman?
Oh,
let me just sing and he can dance.
He can dance.
Let me
he
just
can sing
and dance and deadlift 200 kilos and then, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, and hey, look, he's been together with the same person for decades now. So, I mean, I think that's something I also respect.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I think that's what people always... Dude, do you know Zappos?
No, who's that?
So it's a company in the US. You know Zalando, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so Zalando basically copied their idea. So Zappos is basically Zalando, the original, in the US. So shoe
Zalando
delivery,
is European
delivery.
More or what?
Yeah, Zalando basically took the idea and implemented it here in Europe. Great job, obviously. But the idea was already out there. So, I mean, which is fine. Yeah, in any case. So the founder, I really looked up to him. I have a book of his actually back there. Delivering Happiness, I think it's called. And he's a complete role model in terms of keeping your employees happy and keeping your customers happy. So you do anything to make them happy. And he actually designed the company to... For example, he said he only wants people to work for the company who actually like working for the company. So whenever they hired a person, they gave them like a deadline, like in the first month, if you realize this company is not really for you, we will actually pay you to leave the company. Like he would give them thousands of dollars to say, okay, no, this is not for me. And no hard feelings, you know, but it's better if you leave. Like this kind of super cool. So people who actually were working there were super happy and, you know, all that stuff. And he also seemed like a happy guy. He's a billionaire, but he was living in a trailer park, you know, in a trailer park with an alpaca and stuff. Super cool. And he just a few weeks ago, he passed away.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And I was shocked to hear that. And he's only 46. And so
fucking
I read about it. Hmm?
Fucking 2020.
I know. So yeah, I was reading about it more and... at least according to the Wall Street Journal, so I can't confirm, but apparently it said like they said he apparently had a bunch of alcohol problems and drug problems and it was escalating quite a bit. And so also the way he suffocated during a fire experiment or something because he was experimenting a lot with fire. But he barricaded himself, so it's not really sure whether it was an accident or maybe even, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's more news like about that explanation about that in the future. But according to the article that I read, you know, all those stuff, he was already researching rehabilitation clinics in Hawaii. And so he knew it was a problem. And apparently his friends were starting to... I wanted to organize an intervention, but it just never came to that because of his, you know, untimely death. And I was just thinking, wow, like from the outside, you have everything going for you and everyone knows of you to be this happy person who also cares about happiness of other people, who does a lot for the, you know, the whole community and stuff. And yet still the ending was so tragic. So you never know actually what is really going on in the person. That's I don't know why I came to this. I just... What were we talking about before? I don't want to bring the mood down again.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I don't know where the jump was.
Hugh Jackman.
Oh yeah. So private life. Sorry. So I think it's also very important to have a good private life. And at least in Tony Hsieh's case, for example, he wasn't married, for example. And I mean, you know, that's fine. But I think... If you are married and have kids, it gives you some kind of stability and meaning. Generally, on top of that, you know? I don't know. That's just my assumption. I'm maybe talking to my younger self here. Or my future self.
Get married. You should scream at yourself. Get married.
Do you want to get married one day?
Sure, one day.
Do you want to have kids?
Sure.
How 100%. Many?
Little Ali. All 10. Just one.
Just one?
One's enough. Yeah,
one and enough, then spoil the kid completely. You go broke after that.
There's two choices we have in our life, Pascal. We either live live a lonely, lonely, semi-fulfilled life, or a fully fulfilled life and go broke, because the kid is gonna take all your money.
Mm. Mm.
But you raise him well, and or her, and you show them, you know, you don't tell them about all the money you're spending on them. And then by the time they grow up, they'll make like 10 times more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all good, right?
Yeah, I don't... Nowadays, at least, I don't think you should have kids to, you know, benefit from them financially. Like,
in India...
I mean, that's still obviously... Yeah,
they would have 20 kids and they would push... Yeah. Like, they would put all their resources into one of them to become a doctor. And then his job... was to take care of the rest of the family. That's how it works in India. It's deeply ingrained in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, why don't comedians earn more if they say, you know, one laugh a day keeps the doctor away? If doctors earn so much, why don't comedians earn so much then? All right, okay, fine.
That is a good question, though. That is a good question.
I don't know.
No, it's a
We don't go to
question.
Comedian school.
All right, let's wrap it up, dude.
All right. you have good Christmas plans, though? Just to wrap it up.
Well, I'm getting the flu vaccine on the 23rd, so I'm going to probably be recovering from that.
Flu vaccine or the COVID vaccine?
No, the COVID vaccine is not out yet. Okay. The flu, normal flu vaccine. Okay. Yeah, dude, I'm helping my. I'm now become a fully fledged, member of the community. I'm getting a weekly COVID test, and I'm getting the flu vaccine. I've never gotten the fucking flu vaccine in my life.
Wait, you're getting a weekly test? How do you do that?
So my work pays for a weekly PCR test until the 4th of April. And so I took advantage of it. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So
wow. That's cool. Yeah. You have to go to a place or those tests.
Yeah, it's
5
minutes away from work. It's 5 minutes away from work. There's testing areas, but this is at a laboratory and a laboratory. And so I just go there and I get the test, and they tell you they put it online. You can log in and you can see it online like 12 hours later the next morning.
Wow, nice.
And I do it mostly to because I see my dad every week.
Yeah.
So to for that.
Better be safe. Yeah. If it's paid for anyways.
Yeah, it's paid for. So whatever, you know, it's an 85 euro test, which is paid for by work. Once a week, I can get tested for free there. So I was like, yeah, why not? I mean, the woman, she really jammed it into my nose, and I was like, so now this time I'm going to tell her, like, dude, the first time I did it, like, it was very gentle. I don't think you need to jam it into my freaking nose so that I, you know, feel it for the whole evening.
I know what you mean. Happened to, yeah.
They're so weird sometimes in these laboratories, like, in Vienna. Like, you walk into the thing, and they just stare at you. You know, and they're not smiling. They're just staring at you like, there's like 5 of them. I guess they're all civil, Dina. They're all like doing their civil service.
Yeah.
And they're just like staring at you with this like weird, like not even neutral, like this, like you're bothering them. And I'm just like, you know, can you at least act like a little normal? You know what I'm saying? Anyways. And like, you know what really, you know what, last thing I'll say, which I'll say to my younger self. One thing that really annoys me is when you walk into a store or walk into a doctor's thing or whatever, anything. And this, I don't know if it's, let me know if this happens in Berlin as well. But you walk in and then you look at the cashier, you look at the receptionist, and they're just staring at you. And it's like, and then you're like, they just stare at you. Like, they're not like, hello, you know, or you say hello, and then they don't even say hello back. They're just still staring at you. You know what I mean? Or like you say hello, and then they don't say like, hi, do you have an appointment? They just say, you say hello, and they're just like, hi. You know, it's like this weird, it's like, anyways.
Okay, rant over.
Yeah, my laboratory experience, it wasn't
but
the
cool.
best.
Cool that you're getting tested regularly. Stay safe. Yeah. And you guys too, everyone who's listening, thank you so much for listening. We're going to be back next week again. Please follow us on the gram at Ali the Haznain and Pascal Hausberger. And we're going to be uploading clips also on YouTube in the near future.
Oh, and TikTok.
And TikTok. See you guys.